me and Gary on the Zoom.
Love
Talk Radio.
I'm about to find Gary's out this week.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
Dr. Dre.
Sir Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Hey, here we go.
Gary's house this week. Let's go.
That's right.
You
come on down.
Stand up. Hey, man. You got the motorhome and everything? If you got some sky miles, it's time to get the Portland.
Yeah.
Let's do it. On Tuesday.
Got you. Wait, we'll hit up that out there.
Club going up. On Tuesday.
Oh, goodness gracious. We got some problems.
We need some tacos.
Gentlemen, I don't know why you guys are not in the Zoom. Is there something we said? I mean, is it not working for you guys? What's the deal?
Oh, no.
I mean, me and Gary are.
I'm making
just,
my way.
Well, you know, I'm just running late.
Sounds
Rob
like excuses
Rob,
to me,
so,
man.
You know, you got to get Rob.
No, it's all good. It's a pleasure to, again, share the field of battles, get ready to talk some more sports here. It has been a busy, busy month, if you will, gentlemen. It seems like the month of July is clearly flying by. But the exciting news is that the 27th day, if you will, we are getting close to football. We are wrapping up the NBA. You got the NBA draft coming up on Thursday and college football, all that stuff. So we got a lot of things to dive into, gentlemen. So without further ado, let's do some quick shout-outs around the room, around the country. You know how we represent from West Coast, East Coast, all that fun stuff, too. So, Mr. JQ, how are you feeling this evening, sir?
Oh, man, I can't complain. Working like a crazy person, but I'm getting close to my birthday month. So, you know, I'm getting ready to definitely go up here in August. August 11th, baby. So, about
2 weeks now.
44, okay. That Eric Davis.
There it is. Okay.
All right.
What's up? And, we can't wait to make that
bar
happen.
Every in Atlanta, beware.
Oh, see, here you go.
the aforementioned asparagus sport is on the Zoom. How you doing, Rob?
Oh yeah, you said it best. Had a double dose
asparagus
today.
A double double.
Man.
He got a double-double, man.
He leads the podcast in double-doubles.
Lunch and dinner.
That's how you lure Robert, man. I said that thing about how do you lure Christian. God is good. Get some asparagus, Rob. Oh, here I come.
Yeah, he did.
There you go.
Lure Rob into everything.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
You doing good, Rob? Anything? Okay. All right. Yeah. We're going to jump into this.
You know you had enough
when that. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
So you know you had enough when that tea smelling, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Uh-oh. Here you go.
Man, I bet the house is like off the chain over there, man. They say only 1% of people can actually smell that, too, by the way, which is interesting. I don't know. That's kind of crazy stats, too. But I don't even know. Hey, Gary, please save us, sir. Please save us, man.
Hey, it's all good here. We're doing good.
Gary, speak.
I don't know if Curtis is on the line yet, but he should be on
no, Curtis.
Real quick.
Curtis is on the line.
Oh,
I
nice.
Am on the line.
All
right. Curtis on 10, man. Curtis is always on
tonight
point.
That I wasn't
yeah,
able to watch this tonight. Go ahead, Curtis.
Testing. 1, 2, 3.
Loud and clear. We got you,
Curtis.
Yeah, I'm not on my machine. I'm only on my phone. And I just don't talk that loud anymore.
But we can hear you loud and clear. Sounds good.
Yep. We'll go around the horn and make sure that everyone's good. Did you have anything else to say, Gary, for that intro, or are you ready to start the show as our song
Let's
says?
Let's start it. Let's get it going.
All right. Again, we want to appreciate everyone for tuning in to Talking Sports the 12th Man. You know how you can follow us at Twitter. Hope everyone is following us on the show here at the number 12, THMAN Sports. We are on Facebook, facebook.com/TalkingSportsTheTwelfthMan, or if you put in 12th Man Sports, you will find us. Shout out to Rob. Appreciate you again putting the mock draft on there. Again, the latest mock draft, and that's what we'll kind of dive into. So, gentlemen, let's get it going. So, again, 2 days from the draft here. Rob, kick it off. I mean, this mock draft, what 5.72? Where are we at for the mock draft, if you will?
Well, I don't know what number it is, but I do know one thing. This is the last mock draft, right? the real draft is this coming Thursday. So, yeah.
A lot of moves.
Yeah, the real draft is this coming Thursday. So this is the last mock draft, right? You know, oddly enough, Detroit is sending all kind of smoke screens that they haven't made a final decision yet. But, I mean, just like the rest of the world, I mean, we all think they're going to take Cade Cunningham, right? 6'8 point guard,
yeah,
can do it all, shoot it from the outside, athletic, can handle the rock. And, you know, he's the true star in this draft. Jalen Green is another guy who we expect to be another star in this draft. You know, a guy that we probably think is going to be an elite scorer. You know, expect him to fully go to Houston at number two. Evan Mobley, Cleveland, exactly what they need, another big man. I think a big man who may be even more athletic than DeAndre Ayton, and you're going to get him at the number three spot in the draft as well. He can step out and guard on the perimeter. He can shoot the little 15, 20-footer as well. So I think he's going to be, you know, a heck of a pick at the number three spot. And Jalen Suggs, listening to a lot of scouts here, a lot of scouts think he could be Drew Holiday, a guy that's a great two-way player on both ends of the floor. Look for Suggs in Toronto. Look like, you know, all indications are Kyle Lowry is not going to be back with them. So it looks like they start the rebuilding process, and Jalen Suggs will right in there and take over that point guard spot. I mean, all indications are look like Orlando is going to go with Scotty Barnes. You know, I don't think he'll ever be an elite scorer in the NBA, but this is a guy that's going to defend. He's 6'9 with a 7'3 wingspan. A tremendous athlete who can rebound, who can pass the ball. If he can ever develop a three-point shot, I think that would make him even more special. But I think when you look at him, he's a guy that can do everything. You're just not going to get an elite score out of him. James Bouknight is a guy that seems to be climbing. Looks like he has an opportunity to be a pretty good scorer in the draft, 15 to 17 points at some point in his career, and look for Oklahoma City to take him. It looked like Golden State, Megan Kuminga, who has the potential to be a star, also has the potential to be a bust. So, you know, it's going to be one of those guys that's, you know, going to be real risky here.
Yeah.
And Golden State might make this pick for a trade as well. So, you know, you can look for that as well. Orlando, Davion Mitchell. You saw Orlando got Scotty Barnes at 5. And they get Davion Mitchell here. You're probably getting two of the best defenders in the draft here. Well, both of their first two selections, if this shakes out the way
they need it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shut up, Jake.
Yeah. Franz Wagner, just a solid player, going number 9 to Sacramento, a guy that can hit the three-pointer, who can defend as well, who can rebound. He's got decent size at 6'9". And another guy to watch, Elperin Şengün from Turkey. Real physical presence, 7 feet. 250 pounds. You know, Memphis just made the trade with the Pelicans, so they moved up to number 10 in this draft here. Obviously, they just traded Valanciunas. So we'll see if Şengün is the pick. Josh Giddey, the point guard from Australia, a guy who's 6'8", can handle the ball. Similar to Cade Cunningham, actually. He doesn't have the shooting ability like Cunningham yet. But if he can, he could be a steal in this draft as well. And Moses Moody going to San Antonio from Arkansas. And this is a guy that can really shoot the three as well as defend. You know, I really liked him to the Pelicans if we stayed at number 10. But having gone number 12 to San Antonio. I'll skip around a little bit. Got Corey Kispert, you know, another shooter. If Golden State gets him, not what we want to see with Golden State, but you know, another guy that can really shoot the basketball at 14. And Chris Duarte from Oregon, another guy, a 3-and-D guy, 6'6". He can shoot the three, and he can defend. So he'll be a versatile guy. Washington here at 15. And Keon Johnson, one of the best athletes in his draft. A little raw offensively, that's going 16 to Oklahoma State. Oklahoma City, I'm sorry. And Pelicans trading down to 17. Haven't taken Trey Murphy from Virginia. He's another guy I mentioned on last week's show. Reminds me a lot of DeAndre Hunter and Cam Johnson. He's 6'9". He's got that size and lankiness like Cam Johnson that can shoot and defend as well. Jalen Johnson is a little bit of an enigma from Duke. Tremendous athlete. You know, he gave up on the Duke basketball team, which, you know, is Duke. So, you know, I like when he gave up on him. But, you know, anyway, he's a tremendous athlete. And he's another one of these guys that could be a steal or could be a bust in this draft. I have him going to Oklahoma City. I have the Knicks taking Jaden Springer from Tennessee. And, Dre, have your Hawks taking Zaire Williams from Stanford. He's another guy who's about 6'9", he's got a wingspan over 7 feet tall, that can shoot the three. And he's another guy who's got potential to be a steal in this draft. We're talking about a highly recruited guy when he came out of high school, top three recruit in America. So he's a guy that's also you want to watch in this draft as well. And Usman Garuda, if you haven't had a chance to watch Spain play yet, he's a physical presence, a little raw offensively, but real physical, can run the floor, can defend and rebound. He's going to be in the NBA for a good 12 to 14 years. And JQ got the Lakers taking Jared Butler, which I think will be a solid guy. I think he'll be a role player off the bench most of his NBA career, maybe somebody like a Marcus Smart who can play the point and play the two, who can defend and shoot the basketball. But he's 6'3", so he's a little small for a two guard, so you're probably going to see him coming off the bench for most of his career, but probably a guy who's a winner who's going to be able to come in and help a team. Isaiah Jackson from Kentucky, another raw prospect, but a tremendous athlete. De'Ron Sharp, I have center from North Carolina, 6'11". He's got tremendous footwork, good skills in the paint, can really develop. And so I have him going in at 26. And Joshua Primo, have him going to the Nets at 27. This is a guy that if he would have came back to school another year, could really be a lottery pick in next year's draft. So he could be a really good steal, can really shoot the basketball at 27. I got Cam Thomas from LSU dropping down to Phoenix at 29, and Sharif Cooper down to Utah. I know I spent a lot of time on that, but this is the last mock draft, so I wanted to be a little bit more detailed. But this is a tremendous deep draft, and you're going to have some players that's going to go in the second round of this draft. There's going to be some players that's going to be able to contribute. Ayu Dosunmu, you have him going number 31 in the Bucks in the second round. Miles McBride, Quentin Grimes, Jeremiah Robinson Earl. You got some guys in the second round, JT Thor, that I think is going to be able to come in and contribute right away.
Mm-hmm. I see you. Okay, representing. What jersey is that? What jersey is that, JQ?
AJ Green,
Andy Dalton. Andy Dalton throwback.
You going to get the hell out of here?
I got the USA shirt on today. It's Olympic time. Representing USA today, Olympic time.
Nice.
Good stuff.
Okay. Hey, JQ, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, Detroit's full of it because when Oklahoma City offers you Shea and the sixth pick to move up to the number one spot, you turn it down, that might be the best, you know, trade package they're going to get out there for him because, I mean, he's ready. And, you know, all this time Oklahoma City has not made him available. And all of a sudden he's available for whatever reason. I don't really quite understand that from Oklahoma City standpoint. But I know he's eligible for a contract extension. But I just thought that with Detroit, it's like, come on, at this point you're definitely going to take him. So why are we even going through this? That's just silly talk. That's all I take from it. You know, it just depends on how it starts at the top and then how it shakes out through there. I'm looking to see what my Lakers do. I mean, they don't have a whole lot of cap room, so they got to be praying that somebody falls to them and they're able to move up a spot or two, but it is what it is.
West Coast, what you got?
Curtis, what do you got?
I'm just going to be watching the guys from the West Coast. I'm going to be watching the guys out of UCLA. There's a guy here at Oregon State that put himself in the draft, and he's hoping to go in there in the second round. I'm going to watch the guys from the Gonzaga. I'm going to see where they – and that's what I'm interested in. I'm going to, you know, see – because they had a hell of a tournament, the Pac-12 did, and some guys – really made a name of themselves in this tournament. And it's going to be kind of see how scouts see them. I was surprised by how well the Pac-12 did. And I'm surprised about some of the guys that Oregon recruits. Oregon's been winning the Pac-12 tournament for over 6 and 7 years. And they can't. They weren't the best team in the Pac-12 this year. That's amazing when it came to the tournament. It was amazing. Amazing year for the Pac-12. Yeah. So I'm going to see what they do.
Yeah. Well, you got some pretty decent prospects from Gonzaga as well as the Pac-12 in this draft. We mentioned Chris Duarte having gone 15 to Washington, and Corey Kispert and Suggs going 4 and 14. And Joe Ayaji from Gonzaga as well, 6'5 combo guard, having gone in the second round, 37 to Detroit as well. So got some West Coast prospects in this draft. You know, the guys from Oregon State, they went back to school. They pulled their names out of the draft. And Johnny Jujane from UCLA, he pulled his name out of the draft too, so he's going back to school as well. So it should be an interesting matchup in November. UCLA and Gonzaga are meeting in Las Vegas this year twice. And after that historic Final Four matchup they had this past season. So it should be really interesting here.
Gary, you got anything else on that, sir? What you got? You're kind of quiet, man.
No,
got,
good job, happened? Rob, on that. I think it was fantastic. I would have to go with asparagus over, Brussels sprouts as the number one best vegetable. But, the sleeper in the draft for me is, is maybe eggplant.
Okra.
You know, it's kind of really
making
a run for it. But,
oh, my God.
I like eggplant, too.
Oh my goodness, here we go. Oh man, again, as we kind of bring it back, that was good, Gary, nice segue. Just to really comment on everything, Rob, we appreciate that. I know we'll talk more about the happen for the trade too, and just to appreciate that too. I know if you guys be really – Jared Butler is kind of an underrated player too, man. I think it's a great pick if that's what you guys are looking for the Lakers too. I knew just a winner. I know he had a heart condition, so I think they're finally – I guess he's been cleared medically to get some stuff in. Just be a joy to have on that squad. I know you're shaking your head. No, you don't think so? No? You don't like that? Okay, fair enough.
I don't know if I want no heart condition on the team, man. That was like 2 years and he's done. Like, I'm not – listen, no. Listen, your window
cleared.
Is this
he
big.
Clear to that.
Don't get nobody – with a heart condition. I heard what you said. But I'm still going to come back with no.
Okay, fair enough. Well, like I said,
I'm sure
the way the medicine is going now.
Yeah, think about it. They gave away three first round. They didn't give away. They traded away three first round picks for Anthony Davis. When you got one of the, in the years, in between those years, you got to be getting somebody that can do it.
Fair enough. I'm going to say for the Hawks really quickly, Rob, I'm kind of curious to see if they do because I don't know if we're going to get like a backup point guard or something like that, stuff that we need. I kind of like Trey Mann too as well. I know he's got some interesting athleticism or anything like that. So I'm kind of curious what they're going to do too for that position too. Or, like you said, again, Zaire Williams will be good. We keep stacking these 6'9 type players, if you will, too, man. So, we'll see what happens with us too. So, again, if they have something up their sleeve free agency-wise, I like Herb Jones II. Hopefully we can get that from Alabama.
But again, we'll see what happens.
I like him a lot.
Picks and some of that too. So, you know, I just like a guy. We need somebody that can create their own shot and also act as a secondary ball, you know, handler and also play some defense. So that's Andre's wish list. You know, hopefully we can get one player to do that. But that's kind of definitely over-wishing, if you will. So I don't know.
You know, in today's NBA, you can't have enough of those 6'9 guys that can play multiple positions. I mean, that's just the nature of the league right now. You can have four of those
basketball
guys and a point guard on the floor, or five of those guys, if one of them can handle the rock, you know, like a LeBron or somebody. But, you know, you can't have enough of those kind of guys that can really defend and shoot the basketball and have that wingspan. You know, that's what they look for in the NBA. Zaire Williams, I mean, you can't have enough
like
of those kind of guys.
I get a little nervous. Go ahead, Rob. Go ahead.
Yeah. He's a guy that could be Zaire Williams. He's a guy that has a lot of upside. And he could be a real steal getting him in that point in the draft. I know you mentioned Trey Mann. I think Trey Mann will be a steady NBA player. I don't think he has the potential to be a star, but I think he'll be a steady NBA player. I got him going 24 to Houston. He'll be a solid role player, you know, right there. And then you mentioned Herb Williams. You know, I talked about this draft is deep. They're going to have some guys in this second round of the draft that's going to contribute. Maybe not in the first year, but you're going to have a lot of guys, mark my word, you're going to have a lot of guys in this draft. This is the draft you want to have some second-round picks in, too, because you can have some guys that's going to make your ball club. And Herb Jones is one of those kind of guys. He's 6'8", long, can shoot the three-pointer, can defend.
Yep.
I have him going I think I have him going a little bit before the Hawks' second-round pick. I have him going 46
to
Toronto right now.
Yeah.
And the Hawks pick 48. I have the Hawks picking Joe Wieskamp, who might be one of the best 3-point shooters in the draft. Not a great defender though at all, but he can definitely shoot the basketball.
Kind of like JQ out there. I was going to say this really quickly. At number 14, I don't think that the Warriors are going to pass on Chris Duarte, by the way, from Oregon. So shout out to Curtis Gary. I don't think you keep hearing that. You know, he's kind of a plug and play player, right? Since he's a little older too, so they want somebody to kind of come in and literally.
Mm-hmm.
Wait for Clay to kind of hit his stride too, but you know, I know Crispin is a good shooter too, but they're just saying that I don't think he's going to get past 14, if you will, too. So we'll keep an eye on that. Let's talk about that.
Too, man. Dude seems like he's been in college for 20 years.
How about that type?
Here's your boy. Who's the guy, Ian? That the guy that was at Notre Dame? He's like 56 years old, the quarterback. Same thing as you think about.
Oh, Ian Book too. Thanks for asking.
Ian Book. Him and Chris Winky, like, man, is it any time for you to leave? But we'll talk about that as well. Oh, man. Hey, let's talk about this blockbuster trade, and we'll let you know, Curtis Gates chime in on this too. But, Rob, you got the floor with the Pelicans and the Grizzlies making a blockbuster trade with Steven Adams. You know, just some interesting pieces here. Maybe it'll pacify. And I do want to ask you guys, too, about there's a couple of pieces because, you know, we think Chris Paul is going to stay. And I do want to kind of get back if Kyle Lowry is going to be that missing piece for the Lakers because they need a point guard or the Knicks too. But go ahead, Rob, with the Pelicans-Grizzlies trade, if you will.
Yeah, obviously the first big trade ahead of the NBA draft. There's going to be more this week, and it's going to be more during the draft too as well. But obviously for the Pelicans, this was about clearing some cap space. And they got two of the worst contracts on their roster off the books, and Steven Adams and Eric Bledsoe were trading them to Memphis. And getting Jonas Valanciunas, who probably will be a better fit playing next to Zion Williamson, right? He can step out and hit the three, and Steven Adams is taking off too much space. And Valanciunas will be able to shoot the three as well as play in the paint, and probably will be a better fit playing next to Zion Williamson. The Grizzlies, as a result of picking up these contracts, they swap first-round picks with the Pelicans. So Memphis moves up to 10, New Orleans moves down to 17, and they did swap a couple of second-round picks. What's the background noise?
I don't know.
Okay, Curtis, you got
the
background noise over there.
I can mute if needed.
Yeah, so in a nutshell, that's what the trade. It looks like Eric Bledsoe will not be staying with the Grizzlies. It looks like they're either going to buy him out or he's going to get traded again. So he won't be staying with the Memphis. But it's win-win for both teams. Memphis wanted to move up in the draft. Pelicans wanted to get rid of some cap space. They want to make a run at Kyle Lowry, similar to what Phoenix did with Chris Paul last year, bring a veteran presence to their team. And now they have $36 million in cap space. But I know there's going to be a lot of competition for Kyle Lowry. But they are one of the teams that have one of the better cap situations. I know the Lakers, the Heat, the Mavericks, all some teams, and the Sixers that are all interested in Kyle Lowry along with the Pelicans too.
Yeah, and the only thing that I think maybe works in the Lakers' favor is that Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan are both, you know, ready to move on, and they are homeboys. And DeRozan, you know, is from L.A. And I don't know if you saw that piece from his piece on the Shannon Sharpe's podcast, and Shannon asked him explicitly about joining the Lakers, right? And he was like, you know, I can make it work. You know, I'm willing to take a pay cut. So you might be looking at two dudes that made some money in their contract in their years, and they're like, you know, we don't have to be 1 and 2. We can go there and be 3 and 4 and ball out. And, I mean, like I said before about, you know, Chris Paul, it depends about what kind of sacrifice you're willing to make. But they are not turning down $44 million, right? $44 million for the next year is not on the table for those guys. So that's a whole different ball game of taking less money when $44 million is not on the table and nobody's offered one of those to use $44 million for 1 year. So I think that's going to work. Someone against New Orleans, I've heard that, you know, Lowry wasn't totally convinced that New Orleans was ready to take the next step because he joined them. But I really like that move from New Orleans. That's New Orleans saying, hey, Zion, we want you to stay. We're going to try to do everything we can do to clear some space and get you some, you know, another star outside of you and Ingram. If you look at New Orleans, Zion Wilson and Ingram are really a nasty 1-2, being pretty young. They need a steady enforce. What veteran can you get with that cap space that's going to say, you know what, I'm going to take that Chris Paul kind of role. I like that dude. I can go in there and make them work harder and make them be a better team. Because to me, you got a similar kind of blueprint with Booker and Aiden and Zion Wilson and Brandon Ingram. But it just depends on which veteran is willing to go there and say, if I miss on this, am I okay with missing on this and signing a short-term contract and maybe moving on, but I'm giving away one of my last couple of years in the NBA if I can't get the Pelicans to make the kind of move that the Suns just made last year. So it's going to be really interesting to see how that works out. But, I mean, if I'm New Orleans, I like the move from New Orleans way better. I like it from Memphis. Take all the bloated contracts that I think Steven Adams does fit in Memphis. He's that grit and grind kind of player that's going to go out there and do all the dirty work. But he's got a big contract, though. But he's going to do all that Z-Bo kind of work they love down there in Memphis. And complement him with John Morant. It depends on what we're having for Jaren Jackson. Does he stay healthy? Does he complement John Morant? Does he complement Steven Adams? But I don't think Memphis is ready to make that move. I think New Orleans is definitely more able to make that move with Wiggins and Ingram. But I'd be interested to see who they can bring in because I kind of feel like Lonzo's gone. In New Orleans, I feel like they're moving on. They're like, can I get a veteran to come in here and kind of, you know, steady the shit with these two young guys that have all this talent, but they just need some guidance, some leadership. So I like it a little bit more for New Orleans. I like it for Memphis, but it's still going to be on Memphis to be able to sell those two guys in the city of New Orleans and all those things that come along with it. But they put themselves in position, and I give them a whole lot of credit. If you're not in position, you can't make it. So they put themselves in position to be able to go get one of those guys.
Okay. Yeah, and Valanciunas is probably a better pitch playing next to Zion, too, because he can step out and give Zion more space to work down low. And 17-12 last year, 17.12 rebounds. So it's definitely an upgrade at center, but they definitely need some more help on the perimeter.
Yeah.
Well, if they could bring a guy in like Kyle Lowry, and they could be very competitive in the West. That would be an absolute bonus if they could bring somebody in there to pair up with what they've already got there. They've already got good pieces there, great pieces there. I don't want to see it, but that's just me. Sorry, Rob.
That's a hater. That's all right.
Not,
I hate the Blazers,
I'm not a
too.
Hater. I'm not a hater. I'm just a disliker. Okay, I think I dislike the Pelicans. Okay, so let's clarify that.
You hate the Lakers and dislike the Pelicans.
Yeah. Sorry, you know.
Oh, man.
I don't like where this conversation just went. I wasn't even in it.
Oh, man.
So I'm rooting against both of your teams.
We can't hear you, Jay.
Can you hear me now?
I muted myself. My bad. I was basically saying, Curtis, do you have anything else to say? Do you have anything to add to that?
This draft and the moves they're going to make, what's happening, I know almost every team in the West are gunning for the Lakers. Every team in the West want to be that team that gets to the championship. And it's going to be a madhouse out here in the West to see what kind of moves and see what kind of drafts everybody's going to do. And the Blazers are going to be one of the most aggressive to get this done for Damon because they know they only got 1 year to get him in a championship. And if they fail, he's going to go.
Oh. You better hope that the move to replace Terry Stotts has some magic behind it, you know, because that's one thing you hope for, too, because, you know, you're going to lose. You may lose Norman Powell, if you will, too. I know he's and out there. You got to figure out where you're going to, you know, do you kind of blow that up? Do you keep McCollum? You know, you hear some rumors about everything that's going on. We can definitely touch base on Bradley Beal. There's some rumors about him again. So you just, you know, never know what's going to happen with that, too. So just an interesting scenario, too. But, yeah, I know. Gary, the look on your face, man, says it all, sir. So he's looking pretty serious over there.
But that's what I think. That's what I understand for them. If you're the Blazers and you're a 4 or 5 seed and you trade for Norman Powell, why have you not already worked out a contract since the trade? I don't understand that. Like, if you do that, if you were a 1 or 2 seed, I get it. But we talked about the Blazers; they were in that, you know, middle tier range. If you trade for him, why did I have already worked out a deal? Like, you knew you were going to have to probably slightly overpay for him to keep him because he knows he traded for him.
If they keep Norman Powell, to me, that's the sign that CJ's gone. To me, that's a sign that CJ is he's on the block and they've just I think that's the only reason why they haven't is they got to figure out what or who can they get for CJ. If I were the Blazers, every single person would be on the trading block except Dame to get whatever you have to do to keep that guy happy and keep him in Portland is exactly what I would do. If it means hasn't worked with CJ. They got to 1 Western Conference Finals and they got swept. They've won a couple of series, but they've lost 4 series in the first round. You can't – that's not enough success with CJ and Dame. You need – what they're lacking is that small forward and that power forward that can contribute in those types of situations. And that's what they've been lacking for a long time. And if it means splitting that pair up to do it, and you've got a guy like Norman Powell, I'm okay with that. That's fine for me.
Okay. All right.
But the problem is that Norman Powell's an unrestricted free agent. So when you make that move, you don't have the ability like Atlanta has with John Collins to match. Like, he can just say, you know what, I like this contract and I'm out the door, and you don't have any recourse, right? So that's why I wonder when you make that move for him, knowing he's going to be unrestricted, why would you not have gone to lock him up? He's going to give up that capital to go get him. Like, I understand the land position with Collins because they can match anything once they give him a qualifying offer. But if Norman Powell sees a deal he likes, he doesn't have to call Portland back. He can just go sign that thing and he's off. So I just wonder what the game plan is for Portland given that situation when you don't have that kind of recourse.
Yep, good call. All right, gentlemen, it brings me much joy to bring on Naj as well. This is perfect timing as I talk about Trae Young, too. So, again, some more firepower here for the Atlanta side, too. So we'll get to Naj in a quick second, too. But I think the question was, has Trae Young reached his ceiling is the next topic, and we'll let him go around. We'll start with, you know, let Naj. But I'm going to say definitely it's crazy because he's only in year three, man. So he is not – I don't think he's hit his ceiling yet. I mean, he is – this is kind of the first year you've seen his potential. You know, it's kind of cool to see that. You know, and then the Hawks added these good pieces around him, obviously Bogdan, Bogdanović, and adding, you know, some shooters in Gallo. And, you know, obviously Nate Milne has made a huge coaching to kind of keep him kind of settled because Lloyd Pierce kind of let him do his thing. He's like, hey, this is what I want you to do. Manage, you know, the basically in the fourth quarter kind of again just play smart ball. And he's been snubbed as an all-star. He's been snubbed as an Olympian. So you know that he is just – get that success, and now you're like, man, I got to keep going. So, again, I definitely don't think this is his ceiling right now, too. I'm excited to see the future of what's happening with Trae Young, if you will, too. So that's my thoughts on that, too. So, Naj, is that you, bro? Are you on, sir?
Yeah. What's up, y'all?
Hey. What's going on, sir?
What's up, man?
What's up, bro?
We talked about how Trae Young reached his ceiling, so I don't know if you want to jump in and talk about that really quickly, man. Get your thoughts right off the gate.
Oh, no. No, we got a long way to go before we see, like, what Trae can do. He's got a lot to learn, got a lot more experience to get, got a lot more different defenses to, like, see and understand what he can and can't do. So, no, we got a long way to go. Now, does that mean we're going to see the Hawks in the Eastern Conference Finals multiple times? No. That could happen, but there's no guarantee. He could become a much better player, and this could end up being his best playoff run. Like, that's how tough the NBA is as far as competition.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I like everything with the Hawks right now. You just got to figure out who you're going to pay. So, who you keep?
Yeah.
DeAndre Hunter, Cam Reddish, you know, who stays, who goes. That's all
and
they
Herter,
have to figure out. Going
Yep, it's a lot.
Hey, listen.
Tough problem.
You better keep Cam Reddish because that's the only thing that's making this damn Luka Doncic trade hold up right now. On the surface, like, let's just be honest, because you trade those things, you got Cam Reddish also in that deal, and Cam Reddish showed you in that last game they lost, he was the only one that kept playing. He was, what, 6-for-6 from the 3-point line in that game, I think he was, and ended up with like 21 points or something like that. So he gave you flashes, but if you're looking at it in terms of, are people going to always kill us in terms of this trade, Cam Reddish is a huge piece of making that trade appear and look like it's a good trade for Atlanta. To me, I'm going to match John Collins. If it's worth my time to match it, if somebody matches him out, God bless, go to a new team. But you keep Cam Reddish, you keep Trae, you already signed the color, you got him, and you got that kid from USC, he got hurt, but he actually played pretty well against the walk-in that series as well, and you build around those guys, and you move forward like that. But I'm with you, though. I don't think you've seen I think he can get better. I really do. I think he can cut down his turnovers. I think he can improve as a playmaker. I think he can improve as a three-point shooter because as much as he shoots from those crazy logo three-pointers, his three-point percentage is not great by NBA standards for what we expect from Trae Young with the way we see him shoot. So he can get better, and I feel like he's got that desire to be really good.
Yeah.
So I don't think you've seen his ceiling, but I'm with you, Naj. I think it's John Collins' decision in terms of what you do with him as ripple effects as it goes through that rest of that roster. But if I'm Atlanta, Cam Reddish is an integral part because his ability to shoot three-pointer, his ability to play defense, his ability to flash. You've won the Luka and Doncic trade, the Luka and Trae trade. You got to keep that. Unless you just come out
21 years old,
him,
too, Jack.
You got to keep him. He's the second part of winning that trade, and I don't care what you say. Unless he comes out and just shits the bed, you got to get rid of him. Everybody wants to win the trade, and he's a huge part of winning that trade. He's the thing that came along with that. You got to have Cam Reddish with Trae Young, and you got to still got mature together on that team. I just really feel like GMs feel like that. Like, I want to feel like I won this trade. I want to go Dallas, the idiot that gave up Luka Doncic that won 3 MVPs, and I got Trae, and then I got Cam, and I let Cam go. Like, I don't think any GM wants to feel like that.
Yeah, I agree with just about everything you all just said, and I totally agree that I don't think Trae Young has hit a ceiling yet. And one of the things that I was impressed with when Nate McMillan did with them, Trae wasn't playing any defense prior to, Nate McMillan taking over. And, I don't think Trae will ever be a great defender, But Nate McMillan got him buying in on the defensive end, and you saw that, and that was a big difference from the rest of the team playing better too. So I definitely think from a leadership perspective, I think what he brings to the table, he's only going to get better in. So I definitely don't think he's reached the ceiling either. And I totally agree with JQ. Cam Reddish could be a complete steal at where the Hawks got him. If he can stay healthy, the guy's a tremendous athlete. You know, he got caught behind RJ and Zion at Duke a little bit, but he was just almost as highly recruited as those guys when he came out of high school. So he's a tremendous athlete, and he could really turn out to be a big-time steal for the Hawks if he can stay healthy. And that's been really the only issue with him so far. He can be a weapon for you on both ends of the floor. He's got the length. He can defend. He can shoot the basketball. He can get to the paint. And if he keeps his head straight, right coaching, Nate McMillan is probably that guy. He could be a really big-time steal. I mean, this Hawks team in general, and this team's got a lot of depth. Well, if they're healthy, they have a ton of depth. When you talk about Reddish, you're talking about DeAndre Hunter, you're talking about Trae Young, John Collins, you keep him. So and they have the shooters, too. So this team has got a lot of depth if they're healthy.
So, Rob, do you see them in the Eastern Conference Finals again here in the next 2 or 3 years, that team as it stands right now? They did a fantastic job this year, and congratulations to them.
And as Nas mentioned, it's not going to be easy, right? You know, you have the Bucks, right? If the Nets are healthy, they're going to be tough. We don't know what's going to happen with the Sixers. Maybe Ben Simmons will develop a heart over the summer. But, you know, you don't know what's going to happen. But with the depth on their team, if they're able to keep that team intact, they should be right there in contention, one of the top 4 or 5 teams in the Eastern Conference for the foreseeable future. There's no doubt about it. Obviously, you know, you got to deal with Giannis in the East, who is probably top 3 player in the game right now. And then, like I said, if the Nets are ever healthy, then they're going to be a tough out as well. So it's going to be a challenge, but they
got to get healthy too.
To be there.
We got to get healthy too, Rob.
Like you
trying
to say,
not have DeAndre
Hunter. Got to get another superstar that wants to come stay in Atlanta with his side chick and live in Atlanta and play for the Hawks. Y'all keep pulling my
I can't
my
with
theory,
you, JQ.
But they got to go get somebody. Listen, if you look at that Milwaukee team, all those who's going to be there. Now you look at that Nets team. What do you do with Trae Young and everybody we just talked about? That's not going to be enough if Milwaukee's healthy and the Nets are healthy. You're going to have to get somebody else in there with them.
Yeah, I hear you.
I don't know how they do it.
You're hoping for, you know, the maturation growth for the young guys, too. Like I said, DeAndre, he was hurt, you know, obviously, like Hunter, like, you know, Cam. I know, I'm just saying, I mean, you're hoping that. Because, you know, again, who's going to come? You got to hope to get a superstar. Who's going to come? You know, you talked about the Bradley Beal trades, talked about that. I mean, you got to find somebody that's plug and play, unless you find, like, somebody that's under the radar. You know, I don't know who you're going to grab, you know, obviously. Going into the season, I mean, you got to pay Norman Powell, Spencer Dinwiddie. Yeah, I understand.
They got pieces to trade to put in there, but I hear what you're saying. But if you got Trae Young and he's still an ascending kind of star, and you look at everybody behind him, is that enough to top one with the big three from the Nets or the big three from Milwaukee? Like, I just don't know in a non-COVID year where everything goes back to being regular, are they going to be anything other than a Eastern Conference semifinal team currently constructed? And I can't say that they will be. They just don't have the star power. And NBA is all about star power. You can go get dudes off the street, not the street, but dudes that want to take a little less money to go play with some stars, try to chase the ring. But you got to have those stars. And I just worry about Atlanta saying, okay, we got cameras, Trae Young, and John Collins. Those are our stars. We'll sort out there, let's go play ball against those two teams we talked about. I just don't think in an even year, you know what I mean, where everything is set back to equal, that they get to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's
going to
be tough.
Yeah, we all agree with you. It's just trying to figure out who's going to make that move. If John Collins is up to make a move, a transition, you know, like, so who else is out there? That's why, you know, like, if you even to get a Bradley Beal, you got to trade your whole freaking squad. I mean, that's not what they want to do. They want to start from scratch. So you got to figure out what works best to match those,
you
know,
salaries.
You
don't have to trade the whole squad, though. You don't have to trade the whole squad.
Well,
if you give Bradley Beal a couple of those dudes.
Mm-hmm.
You can still be, once you get some established dudes to come there, you can convince other dudes to buy in. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's that it's getting dudes to buy in when you don't have established stars to get into it before you're trying to deal. They're like, oh, these young dudes ain't ready. Now I'm here stuck. That's the problem for Atlanta.
Gotcha. Let's talk about the, really quickly, the USA basketball. I don't know if we're going to have time to talk about your favorite guy, A-Ron, finally going back to the Packers here, Rob, but there's a lot of things, and it's tough, man, because I wanted to definitely get JQ's thoughts on his favorite team if this is the year that Michigan beats Ohio State. I know he's going to say no to that, but there's so many things we can talk about. We got like 10 minutes to get over this, too. And then obviously Simone Biles, you know, just kind of some things with her withdrawing through this mental stuff. It's kind of tough, too. So there's a lot of topics to kind of hit, too. So I'm going to let you guys kind of pick a topic, if you will, because I'm nervous that we're going to not have time to get all these topics, too. So I'll start with you, JQ. Go with that. And then Rob, we'll go to Curtis, Gary, and then let Naj kind of wrap up some stuff, too, if you will, too. So there you go.
All right. So with the Green Bay piece, I haven't got delved into all the details. But if they are bringing him back with the notion that he's going to have the ability to, you know, have his own direction in 2022, I just don't understand the point of doing that. So you just extend it so you can train him by the deadline? Because if you're going to bring him back for a year and Devontae Adams is also looking for a contract, if I'm Devontae Adams, why would I start trying to deal with Green Bay when I know that Aaron Rodgers can leave after next year? So that piece is like it's kicking the can down the road, but if he has the ability just to move on, so are you just buying yourself a couple more months to find a better trade partner for him and to make it feel better for yourself? Like I get they're trying to win the headline of what Aaron Rodgers is back in camp having for this year. But if the contract or whatever renegotiated a lot to leave after next year, then I don't understand what you want, because if you can walk away from nothing and you can't franchise him, then you have to take $20,000, right, after this year to get something for him. So I just worry about that for Green Bay. And listen, I'm a nerd and I'm a 0s and 1s kind of person, and I know that, you know, you get a regression to the mean. I know we can't beat Michigan forever, but I sure hope this year when they talk all that smack at Media Day about how they were going to die trying to beat Ohio State, I hope we beat the brakes off them. I mean, the absolute brakes off of them. Because, come on, man. Like, it's okay to fix that inside the building, but don't go out there and say that out in public and put it on print. Like, really, y'all ain't – listen, you got dudes that feel like 5 years old since the last time this can beat Ohio State. That's on their roster. That's going to play this year for Michigan. They ain't never seen Michigan beat them that they can remember. And you going to tell me what you're going to beat them this year?
They waiting for each other. They got a secret weapon. They got a secret weapon. They waiting. Come on.
You know, I believe that shit when I see it, and I'll give them some credit when it happens. Yeah. But, you know, there's certain things you just got to keep in-house. You just don't say out loud. You just going to say, you know what, we just going to keep, you know, rolling the boat or whatever, chopping the bit or whatever silly-ass thing you got inside the clubhouse to keep people moving. But don't say that and put it on print. That's just so dumb.
I'll leave the Ohio State and Michigan to JQ. I'll comment briefly on the Packers and the Aaron Rodgers situation, and I guess my topic, I'll talk about Texas and Oklahoma and what's going on with them going on in the SEC. But, yeah, really quick, obviously definitely a very strange move for Green Bay, but I guess if you're the Packers here, and I totally agree with JQ was saying, I guess if you're looking at it from the Packers standpoint, a 1 year of Aaron Rodgers is still better than no more years of Aaron Rodgers. You're making one more run at it, you know, and maybe you can convince him to continue to play for him. Maybe you can fix the situation while he's in the building for another year. Maybe you can make amends some kind of way. So I think if you're looking at it from a Packers standpoint, that's what you're going for, right? You know, I think they kind of meet each other halfway. Aaron's going to come back for another year. Packers are going to give him his freedom after this year. And the Packers are maybe hoping that, you know, that they can find a way to get him to stay beyond after the season. But, you know, it's going to be a lot of competition out there, especially if he has another good year and he stays healthy this year for sure. So it'll definitely be interesting. So, it just seems like the two sides just kind of met each other halfway and came to an agreement for at least one more run at it. And they throwing in Randall Cobb, it looked like, too, bringing back an old face 31-year-old Randall Cobb playing the slot.
In old face.
Yeah, yeah.
Craig Jennings,
face, you're right. And, I mean, they drafted Amari Rodgers, and I thought he was supposed to be that guy in the third round. So, you know, so it's going to be interesting. What are you going to do with Amari Rodgers? And, you know, he's supposed to be that guy they drafted to put in the slot. So really interesting there. It's going to be interesting. Obviously, with Aaron Rodgers, that definitely makes the Packers a strong contender, right? In the NFC, I mean, you put them right up there with Tampa right now for competition for winning the NFC this year as the two favorites. So, you know, one more run at them. And the other topic I'll talk about is Texas and Oklahoma officially notifying the Big 12 that it would not extend their media contract beyond 2025. The SEC is meeting this Thursday to talk about adding Texas and Oklahoma to the conference. And guess what? There's no way the SEC says no to Texas and Oklahoma. I don't care what Texas A&M says. Texas A&M wants to be the only schools in Texas in the SEC. You do not say no to Texas and Oklahoma. Texas has the number one revenue-producing athletic program in the United States. You do not say no to the University of Texas. And then Oklahoma is right up there as well. So the SEC obviously is a big moneymaker for all the other 14 schools in the SEC, along with Texas and Oklahoma, to make it a super conference. And they're looking at either two divisions of 8 teams or 4 divisions of 4 teams. So there's already a few things that's on the table. I personally like 2 divisions of 8 for football, or maybe 4 divisions of 4 for basketball for the SEC. You know, because you got an SEC championship game in football, and so you want to have the 2 winners to play, right? So there'll be some realignment. Yeah, if you do 2 8-division teams, obviously you're going to have Texas, Oklahoma, Texas A&M, Missouri, Arkansas, LSU, Mississippi State in the West. That shifts Alabama and Auburn over to the East, along with Georgia,
like
Florida,
that,
South Carolina, Vanderbilt, Tennessee, Kentucky. What was that?
I know you like that shit. Bye-bye, Alabama, and Auburn. Yeah, I know you like that shit.
I'm still going to find a way to still have LSU and Alabama on the schedule, though.
Rotate, but not every year. You like, yeah.
Yeah.
See you.
So that will be a reconfigurated conference. And if they do 4 division teams, then obviously Texas A&M, Oklahoma, Missouri be 1 division, LSU, Arkansas, Mississippi State, and Ole Miss would be 1 division, Alabama, Auburn, Tennessee, and Vanderbilt in another one, and then Georgia, Florida, South Carolina, Kentucky will be another division if they do 4 division teams. And, you know, looking at Texas and Oklahoma and why they're making this decision, you know, Texas, just think about this. Texas and Oklahoma was kicking Texas A&M's ass when they were in the Big 12. Texas A&M has gotten a lot better since they moved to the SEC. So Texas and Oklahoma are looking at this thing like, hey, we can get better by going to the SEC. We were kicking Texas A&M's ass when they were in our conference. And so that's the way Texas and Oklahoma is looking at this. We will get better when we go in the SEC. They're not winning national championships coming out of the Big 12. They don't have a shot to play for a national championship coming out of the SEC. And that's the way they're looking at this, along with the money piece, of course.
Bro, LSU, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, and Arkansas, you should be rooting for 4-4 conference teams. Y'all can win that damn conference division every year.
Wow, man.
Go ahead, print the banner.
ATM. ATM.
What I want to talk about is this. What I want to talk about is this U.S. basketball. You know,
nice.
As I'm watching this game against France, I'm seeing these role players in the NBA kick the crap out of our guys and really just outplay them, you know, out-hustle them.
Mm-hmm.
And I blame a lot of that on coaching. Mm-hmm. I don't think Pop did a very good job and is not a very good international or Olympic style coach. I would turn the dogs out with these guys. You've got all-stars on your team, and you know, for the Americans. They know they can kick the shit out of these guys. So he's trying to make them play this Olympic-style basketball. Let's pass it around to everybody. Everybody's going to touch the ball like these other teams. No, just let them go. Let them run freewheel and let them play the game. Don't hold them back. That's what Pop was holding them back. And if they don't win the gold medal, it's going to be partly his fault as well, with how he's coached the game. He's got to let them lose.
There it is.
He's running the Spurs offense with them boys. Just run the high pick and roll. All you got to do is run the high pick and roll. Pick two dudes, run the high pick and roll, spread the floor on the other side with the other three guys.
Yep.
Let's repeat.
Done.
There it is.
Yeah.
It's over.
Yeah. Y'all hear Kevin Durant, what he said, the adjustments they're going to make, right? Kevin Durant said, only adjustments we need to make is shoot the ball better.
Kevin Durant's an asshole.
Stay tuned, Naj. Curtis, what you got?
What? Wait, come on.
What
Kevin
I
Durant,
got,
he's supposed to be the main player on the team. And he has played horrible. He's a pre-Olympic game. He won out of six on a three-point line that night. I mean, he's got to come up and be big. He's got to play like Kevin Durant.
I think the coronavirus, what they went through in the bubble, what they did with a shortened season, what they did with all the injuries, I think the NBA is caught up with their NBA people. And they've been through a lot. They really have, trying to get a season in. And the NBA probably got impacted more than anybody trying to do what they did, because their season was interrupted right in the middle, and they try to do the best they can to have some season. But as we know, as we get older men, we get wore out, and I think that's got something to say for our pros and the guys in the NBA. They may be playing too much and
taking it seriously.
Not
okay.
Wanting to do the work to stay in that kind of shape because they got too much money.
Mm. Yeah,
there it is.
I think part of it is I'm not going to these other countries and these players playing for their country, I think it means more to them. I really do. And, mm-hmm. You know, and we also got to give a lot of credit to the Dream Team in 1992. The rest of the world watched them play, and the rest of the world got better and motivated, right? You know, they admired that team, but they just got a lot more basketball fans around the globe as a result of it, too. And you're starting to see a lot basketball players around the globe. I mean, you look at that France team, yeah, as Kendrick Perkins like to say, Rudy Gobert, and, they had Rudy Gobert in the team. They had Evan Fournier and, Luke Batum. I mean, not great NBA players, sure, but these are guys that played in the NBA, but they just decided to play for their country. And these guys have played together for so long. And that's the piece that, you know, we put together these guys and expect them to gel right away, and it's kind of hard. And so Drew Holiday and Devin Booker, Chris Middleton just got off a plane. And they came to play. I mean, no
turn them loose.
And, yeah. So, I mean, the last game they played was Sunday. They're playing again tonight. I won't be staying up for it. Playing at 12:40 at midnight. But so I expect to see a victory when they win. They've had at least a couple of days to prepare. Ladies and gentlemen, you recognize the music. That is the end of our live portion of the show. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with Soft Man. From the East Coast to the West Coast, Atlanta, New York, Portland, Los Angeles, thanks for dialing in tonight. We appreciate you. We'll be back on the air Tuesday night next week, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You don't want to miss it. We might have a real brief OT portion, but you don't want to miss us on next week. Good night, people.
Damn it, I just knew you were going to talk about Fresno. Come on, Rob, you can't let me down. You knew you were going to talk about Fresno.
Oh, man, the Jackson, Mississippi, the West Coast? Yeah, thank you, Fresno.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, you're right, though. You know, you can't expect the all just to gel together, but we talking about two dudes outside of Gobert, because you got to give him credit. He's won. He's a player twice now. But Evan Fournier, you know, was a secondary, third kind of tier trade at the deadline. Come on, USA Basketball. You got to win. On talent alone, they can go out there and win. I'm with you, Gary. You got Pop out there running that Spurs offense. Patty Mills out here, running out here. You got Kevin Durant and Dame Leonard. If you don't let these boys play basketball and just let them play basketball, you're holding them back. So we'll see. But they don't. Yeah. They're playing Iran tonight.
Wednesday.
I mean, come on, man. If they don't beat Iran by 40 points, I'm gonna go something. Stop it.
Nah, just been patient, bro. What do you got to say, man? It's been a lot.
Well, I can say this, Gary. I don't know if his wife has let him know, but on our overtime, I'm going to let Gary know, Gary's got a warrant out for my arrest.
Oh,
I got a ticket the other day, and I thought it was a car I sold. I sold a Honda to some kids, and they were racing around Marine Avenue, and they were sending me a ticket notice. And I thought it was my Honda.
Uh-oh.
Turns out the girls that worked for me looked up the picture, and it was Gary in my van.
Oh,
really?
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Yeah.
Curtis,
and
can
I think
get a ticket to your van?
Yeah.
Oh,
and there's going to be a warrant out for my arrest.
Oh, that's okay,
Gary,
man.
Gary's
so nice
the guy.
Wow.
You guys take care of that tomorrow, too.
Wow. Wow.
Wow.
That's
hilarious. Wow. Can't make stuff
it's
like that.
It's rough out
yeah,
here, man. Sometimes you got to pass
it.
The ticket on to somebody else. But yeah, as far as the Olympics, bro.
Curtis, how much was it?
I got it.
How much is it?
I got to keep it 100 with everybody. For the most part, I don't care. I don't care about the Olympics until they're going on. Like, I don't really care. I don't get worked up about it like everybody else does. They have to win, they win, they lose, they lose. But ultimately, either you send the Avengers, which is LeBron and everybody, the first-class All-Stars, or you send the young boys. You can't go in the middle and send a small ball lineup to play in international ball, which is different. So this is a bad roster. They constructed it poorly. Dwight Howard, JaVale McGee, those type of centers should be there. Bam should not be playing five. He should be playing the four. You actually need an athletic point guard to pick people up full court and turn them over. That's been our biggest advantage in international play. And the fact that you didn't send that type of guard group, you get what you get. So, yes, they're losing. They deserve to lose. It is what it is. See you in 4 years, and maybe I'll care then. But I don't.
I love it. I love it.
But
nah,
Drew Holiday
is supposed
to be that guy that owned the ball defender. So we'll see.
Hell, he's tired. He just got out the finals. The man barely showered the champagne off, and they got to roll him out there. That tell you how desperate they were.
It sucks. He led them in scoring the other day, too.
Sure.
That's terrible.
That's
terrible. When you got game and you're already there, that's
Kevin
terrible.
Durant has got to step up and be a superstar on this team. And he's played like diddly poo, in the words of Jim Mora, and in the pre-Olympics as well as the first game in the Olympics. He has not showed up in any of these games, and he put up a 50 on the Bucks in one of them playoff games. That's the kind of Kevin Durant we need to see in these Olympics. I mean, he shot one. He sees Kevin Durant shoot 1 for 6 from the 3-point line, and the 3-point line is shorter in the international game. That's Jimmy. Kevin Durant has got
to
be a star.
He's running from that boy's book about him and Kyrie. So he out here in the Olympics where he should be resting. A lot of these guys shouldn't be there, period. I don't know if it was peer pressure or whatever that told them that they should play. But, nah, man, we should have the young kids over there.
Yeah.
It's pride, man. It's pride. They looked at it and said, oh, they ain't here. I'm going to tell you, from Kevin Durant's standpoint, it's probably with this. When LeBron don't go into it and Kawhi don't go into it, Kevin Durant said, oh, I can go there and be the man and get us this cheap-ass gold medal where everybody else is tired. And we are here in this crazy COVID time, and I can put my name as the best player on this Olympic team to lead us to a gold medal. And it ain't working out the way he thought it was going to work out right now. I pretty much think that's
playing
Friday,
like the best player.
But that's
hey, what did Marcellus Wallace tell us about Jake?
Yeah,
what did Marcellus
Wallace
say? It's just pride fucking with you. I need you to do that.
What are you saying about pride?
It just got real.
I know we like after hours.
Hey man, he
like
told
that.
The
it
man to lay
real.
Down in the fight. Sorry for cursing, my bad. But y'all remember
it's okay. We were definitely hot time. I just like, oh, I've never heard Nodge pull shit off, man. That's hilarious, man. Oh man, I love it. You can't pick this up.
He ain't wrong though. He ain't wrong.
He's not.
And he thought he was going to be the superstar on this Olympic team and get them a cheap gold medal, and it's not working out that way.
I'm just going to say this. Charles Barkley had a good, talk about it, too, whenever, I guess after the original Dream Team, and he was ordering, they went, and he was like, I don't really want to play, just keep me on the bench. And he was just disgusted at the way they play because everyone was upset about who was going to start. And he was like, they just didn't have any pride, and just, they just didn't care. And that's kind of – you still wonder if that's going on, like, as you said, JQ Rob, and everyone's like, do you think he can show up and just, again, just win? I mean, and the talent is catching up. Like you talked about, you said it too, Naj. A lot of the big centers are overseas. Like Gobert, he's playing for France. A lot of these big guys, a lot of our centers are from overseas. We don't really have, like, any more big guys in America like we had before, So – there's some, but not as much as we used to. Like, you got the couple of those, too.
Sometimes you got to send lesser guys, you know what I mean? It don't have to be an all-star all the time.
Correct.
And I think
correct.
We would like
and
to think that they're not playing hard and everybody's out, playing harder than us and it ain't pride and effort. How about we just getting our ass kicked? I think they are playing hard.
It's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of what the Spurs offense, a little bit of that. You still thinking y'all can come over here and kick our ass? I'm like, nah, man, we can still play too.
Well, come
on. Yeah, guys have been playing.
That's called a spade.
That's called a spade.
JaVale McGee is not a top 10 center from the United States. And we just said
right.
On
that's true.
Olympic team.
That's true.
Top 10 center. Oh no! And from the
you
United
saw Okafor
States.
Over there too. Like, what the hell is Okafor doing? Would you play for?
Carl Anthony Towns? Isn't he from America?
Yeah, we down
from
bad.
Canada.
We down. Hey,
he from America.
He from Canada. You missed out on that one, Rob. You missed on that one, bro. You missed on that. And that's the one. He's from Nigeria.
Have,
so you missing, guys.
We
that's
have
funny.
To have 10 better centers from America, right?
Yeah, but be honest though, it's much
that's
better
funny.
To get
that's
role players
that's
who
funny.
Can play a specific role than it is to get
yeah.
all-star players who don't fit. So I got no problem with
that's
JaVale,
true.
Dwight, those type of guys at center over there because that's what you need to do.
Oh my God,
you got to get De'Aaron
Fox.
Oh, wow. You got to get Ja Morant, those quick athletic guards who can pick people up full and turn them over. Like that's the start of an Olympic team if we're being serious about winning the gold medal.
Oh,
I hate Rob.
Wow.
And he's from America.
Well, Carl Anthony Towns was born. Hey, Carl Anthony Towns was born in New Jersey, just so you know. But he is a
man.
Whatever.
That man
on,
is from the Dominican Republic. Stop trying to steal people.
I got a little guy. He's Dominican American, Rob. He's Dominican American, Rob.
I know he is.
Oh my goodness!
But he's born in
Jersey.
That boy had rice and beans at Thanksgiving. He did not have dressing and macaroni and cheese. I'm just saying, like we can't be so down bad that we start trying to steal folks.
I quit. I'm done. I was done. Wait, and he's from America. I was done after that. I'm through.
Hey, Dominican Republic don't have an Olympic basketball team. You should be playing for us.
Oh, my God.
Dominican Republic got an Olympic baseball team. We don't have no Olympic basketball team. You should be playing for America. Team Olajuwon plays for America.
And he's from America. Oh, my God. I'm done. All right, dog.
We out here trying to get people to change their citizenship. And nothing is more embarrassing. Than the great Serge Ibaka when he played for Spain that one year. We're like, man, Senor Serge Ibaka, what the hell going on here?
Yo,
that don't even sound right now. Really, you're right.
But speaking of that, though, and I know we got to jump off the call because we've been going too far. Mike Brown was coaching. Who was he coaching? Was he coaching
Nigeria?
He's coaching
Nigeria.
Yeah. You're like, Mike Brown was trying to like take it to the NBA. Like, I can coach. I love it, man. I was like, oh,
hey man, you know
Mike
the
Brown says,
don't let Mike Brown in that interview room. If he get in that room, he gonna get the damn job. Like, you can't interview that guy. Something about him.
That's
in
right.
That boardroom, man. Him and Vinny Del Negro, they got like a superpower. If they get an interview, they getting that damn job. So don't let Mike in there. No. You gotta remember this in Nigeria, bro. Like, go look this up tonight. Nigeria has like 220 million people. It's a huge country. That's why their team is so damn good. They got players everywhere. Because that damn country is large, bro. Like, I'm dead serious. Like, 220 million. So, yeah, they can make a good Olympic team. They got too many damn people. Why not?
And don't get it twisted. They got a lot of seven-footers, too, in that country.
Oh,
yep. A lot of them.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That made my night.
Yeah.
That one made my night, guys. Hey, man, we got to wrap this up. Just really quickly, you know, shout out to them. That was funny.
Interview, you can cancel.
Oh man, Tom Chambers.
Tell you, Vinny is a beast in that interview room.
Vinny Del Negro, man.
Shut up. That's
like Rich Chapman over there bringing back some names, man. He's going back on us.
Oh my God.
We're gonna wrap.
All right,
the show
I'm done
again.
With y'all. I'm done.
I know. Hey, really quickly.
Hey, just,
up,
just
man,
imagine being
out.
In a group interview with Mike Brown and Vinny Del Negro. You ain't getting that job, bro. They about to eat y'all up in that process. That's what I'm just saying.
Oh,
my God. We probably heard the name Vinny Del Negro in 20 years, man. He's not running back.
You got to bring him back like three
times.
But
he ain't lying, though.
Hey, y'all been to job interviews where you looked at certain people and was like, oh, shit, this motherfucker, he going to be a problem. Like, you've all thought it. I'm just saying.
Oh
my goodness. I waved my flag.
You can't wake this up, man.
And look, we in Atlanta. Every Atlantan will tell you they've been in an interview and they found out somebody was a Morehouse man who was trying to flip every contact and connection they had to get the damn job before you could. And they was letting you know in that room, like, yeah, you know, it's a Morehouse man. Like,
okay.
I'm just saying,
shut up. Shut up.
I'm just saying.
Nah, the steak raw tonight.
Thank you.
He must have been,
hurt,
in the bar with J.P. early tonight.
Oh, my stomach hurts. I can't.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
All right,
guys.
How you doing? I'm Thurston Eckleburg Jenkins III. Yes, I'm a Morehouse man, second generation. Like, dude, I met those people. I'm just telling you, bro. Like,
I gotta take the white
thing
here.
Yeah, out on that West Coast. I know they know the Oregon equivalent of that. Oh yeah, I was golfing with Phil Knight this past weekend. Like, I know they know the equivalent of that, bro. I'm telling you, man. Some people, they hail in the interview.
Oh man, Gary disconnected.
Fire, man. Oh, oh goodness gracious. Woo, Naj, we appreciate you. Mm-hmm. I don't know where that came from, but man, the video down there lasted like a whole 10 minutes. That was amazing.
Gary, he has a hang up on
me. Man, y'all the ones brought up Mike Brown. Hell, y'all got me started. Y'all brought up
that
Mike
was
Brown.
My fault.
No, it wasn't
that
no
was
y'all.
Me.
That was Andre that brought up Mike Brown. There ain't no y'all.
That was my fault. I didn't think it was gonna open the floodgates. Lord have mercy. Oh, gentlemen. So till next week, next Tuesday, we'll catch you again. Appreciate you guys. Cannot wait to get some commentation on the draft. So we'll do the recap and everything like that. If you want to carry the next week, Rob, you can do that. As always, gentlemen, have a great evening. Till the next time, Curtis, you as well. Be safe. Keep fighting, bro. We'll talk to you soon. Call us next week, Naj. We appreciate you, man. Deuces.
Yeah, if I'm right with you. All
right, y'all.
All right, y'all.
Good night, people. Y'all be good. All right.